ear, bass on your ear. Take your iPod, your iPad with your HD display. Connect them to the cloud so your data's up to date. With your tablet in the air, play some solid game. Log into Facebook, tag a photo you can share. Tweet your plans, and play some Angry Birds now. Come on, baby, tell me who's the nerd. Nerd up. Everybody say, grab your GPS and get up on your Segway. Nerd up. It's a way of the world. No matter where you are, you got a 4G signal.
It's time for the Nerd Up Podcast, and here's your pod hosts, Guilty Wilson. Nerd Up.
All right, welcome to another edition of the Nerd Up Podcast. I'm Guilty Wilson.
I'm Isaac Wilson.
And we're here podcasting. This time around, we're ready to talk about RoboCop. And also, let me give you a little introduction to this podcast. Not only will we be talking about RoboCop, we're also going to be interviewing Chris Birch from Modiphius Entertainment. And Modiphius is modiphius.com. M-O-D-I-P-H-I-U-S. Get that right. Anyway, they've got some role-playing games that are being released right now. They've got Kickstarter campaigns going on, and some games going to be released in spring, some in summer. Some are shipping now. So if you want to find out more about that, we'll be talking with Chris Birch from Modiphius Entertainment and some role-playing games. The games include Mutant Chronicles, Mindjammer, Octung Cthulhu, which is a cool one, and that was the one that's coming out now, or that's out being released now. So if you want to find out more about that, stay tuned to the Nerd Up Podcast, because coming up we have the interview with Chris Birch and Modiphius talking about those RPGs. But right now, Isaac and I have to talk about RoboCop. We just saw that at the Eagle Theater here in Robinson. And well, I'm gonna start with you. I got my opinions. Now, a lot of people are saying, oh, how are you gonna remake an old original classic? How are you gonna do that? Well, they did. And Isaac, what'd you think of it, first of all, having not seen the first one?
I thought it was good. They could have used, you know, I'm curious if they actually used like a real suit or if it was just CGI on like a green screen.
You know, I never looked that up. Yeah. There were some parts of it that had to have been CGI, of course.
Hopefully they did use a real suit most of the time, because, I mean, in like the 80s or whenever the other RoboCop movies were made, they did use a real suit.
Yeah, they didn't have the CGI capability like they do now. So, yeah, there were lots of it that, yeah, you're right. Some of it could have been CGI, but I think most of it was an actual suit.
They should make a game based off of it with the Oculus Rift virtual reality headset.
With all the display, upfront displays like the RoboCop saw.
Yeah, like whenever he did like the analyzing of the, like where he is. Like whenever he did the simulations and stuff, and he did like the analyzing where he could go into a third person view and saw like all the trajectory and stuff.
Yeah.
Kind of spoilers.
Well, yeah, almost spoilers. But yeah, well, see, that's the one thing about the basis behind this movie. You got to give kind of, we should, before we throw in all these little factoids, the basis of the movie is that it's the near future, and they're trying to find a way. Basically, we're robophobic here in the U.S. Samuel L. Jackson used that term on his TV show on the movie.
More or less a news report
show. He's kind of like a Bill O'Reilly of the future. But he had better suits and a better hairstyle. What'd you think of that Samuel L. Jackson hairstyle on there?
It's odd seeing Samuel L. Jackson with hair.
I know, and not an eye patch. But anyway, he's a news host, and he's bringing in the fact that overseas, all the wars, everything are being fought by these robots. And there's the Ed 209. Is that what it was? The Ed 209. The two-legged one.
I don't know.
That they used in Family Guy. Present Hall Pass. And so anyway, the one, and actually in the original movie, the Ed 209 tried to kill RoboCop. That was not
I
so.
I have seen that.
Yeah, part. Not so much in this one until the very end. But basically, they have robot soldiers also, and they're fighting the war so that humans don't get harmed. And Jackie Earle Haley, some of you may know as Rorschach or Kelly Leak from Bad News Bears in the 70s, but he's the one in charge of these robot platoons, and he's like a gung-ho soldier that, well, as long as he's got robots to control. Well, he doesn't like the idea of a RoboCop. But anyway, so America, we're robophobic. We don't want them patrolling our streets. You know, they're saying, well, robots won't have the human emotion. And so to overcome this, Michael Keaton, he owns a big company that makes these robots. He says, well, we need to put a human in a robot suit. And Commissioner Gordon, Gary Oldman, the actor as the scientist, the doctor, he creates the idea of how to do this. Because he's already working with soldiers and people that are injured, replacing limbs with automatic limbs and, you know, robotic limbs. And now they've got the idea, they just need a test subject. Well, it just so happens this cop gets blown up. There's their test subject. And so he's RoboCop. Now, it's really cool, the graphics and everything they use to create the RoboCop. There's not much left of his body that they put into the suit. Now, there is more left in his body than they do put in the suit.
There's still a naked hand.
Yeah, there's still one hand, and in the actual display, they've got his functioning lungs and heart in like a glass encase, and it's kind of gross watching that, and his head. And so they got little chips in his head for fast data analysis and stuff like that. So it's really very good, very well presented in that, okay, we could do this. We could rebuild him, $6 million man thing. Now, here's the cool part about the movie. You've got Michael Keaton, Batman, okay? Gary Oldman, Commissioner Gordon. You've got Jackie Earle Haley Rorschach. I mean, it's the... And Samuel L. Jackson, Nick Fury. So you've got all these comic book heroes coming together, but only as separate characters. So any comic book nerd, comic book movie nerd especially, would appreciate just the actors alone. The plot line is very realistic. It's been a long time since I saw the original, but I will say that they stuck with the original storyline pretty well. The idea behind it, anyway. Now, there weren't as many humorous sections in this as there were in the original. The original had a lot of funny moments, just side comic moments going on.
Comic relief.
Yeah. And, I mean, like, there's the whole TV guy selling stuff saying, I'd buy that for a dollar. Well, they do use that line in the movie. In fact, there are a couple lines that I wanted to hear. One of them was, dead or alive, you're coming with me. And they use that line. Instead of, I'd buy that for a dollar, Jackie Earle Haley, when they're testing out Tin Man or RoboCop, he goes, I wouldn't buy that for a dollar. So I was like, oh, yeah, there it is. And there are a couple other aspects. They did show the original costume used in the 80s movie. And they showed the suit a couple times, and they showed the idea. And in fact, at the very end, the suit came back a little bit. But there were some they brought back moments, just enough to hint that, hey, we redid the movie, but you know the original is just as good. They did that honor to the old movie, so they did a good job. And I'll tell you what, the acting, the actors they pulled for this, the roles in this, perfect. I mean, especially Samuel L. Jackson. I think he almost stole the show. I'm surprised Michael Keaton wasn't more profound.
Did the usual Samuel L. Jackson sometime later in the movie and
cussed. Yes. Yeah. But they bleeped him out. They did bleep him out.
Because it's the news.
Because it's TV news. But he dropped his F-bombs like Samuel L. Jackson's best known for. Hand me the mother beeping lightsaber. But anyway... okay, maybe he didn't ever say that one, but yeah, there's some Samuel L. Jackson moments. There were Michael Keaton moments. There's one section, he's standing in front of a painting, and I swear that painting looked like it was a silhouette of a cowl, a Batman cowl. There's a section there, and I'm like, is that a cowl? Is that, no. But it just is intriguing. They had little subtleties like that, I think. I didn't watch it for the Easter eggs, but the ones that did pop out, like the paying homage to the original movie, I appreciated those. Again, Gary Oldman plays the doctor who has the conscience, and he goes along for the ride in building this, but it's like, how far is too far? You know, how far do we take the emotions out of the equation? And let's see. Of course, the actor, I'm going to get all sorts of comments and stuff about this, I'm sure, and especially from Eric if he were joining us. By the way, Eric's not joining this week because their play opens this weekend, so he won't be here. But yeah, I'm going to get some comments from him for sure. I can't remember the actor's name that played the lead. Do you remember? You never go in looking for that.
I don't pay attention to the actors unless I actually know them.
Yeah, so but he did a great job representing the non-emotional and the emotional side.
It is Joel Kinnaman.
That sounds right.
The posters are right there behind.
Yeah. Isaac even got the posters for the movie. He liked it so much.
I think it's Joel Kinnaman. That's probably the... that was loud. Yeah, it's Joel Kinnaman.
Okay. Joel Kinnaman?
Jules.
Jules. Yeah, anyway, he did a perfect job of capturing the emotion and non-emotion of RoboCop on both sides, because you had both sides of it represented in different parts of the movie, and it was just, they did a great job. I really enjoyed it, and it was definitely a fun, action-packed movie. Once they got the RoboCop built, it was jam-packed full of stuff, and there's especially the battles between RoboCop and the other robots at the end. But I'm not going to tell you what happens.
The first part was kind of action-y too, not just, you know, the boring first part of a movie like usual.
Where they were demonstrating the combat units?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a cool scene.
And also the part where, you know, he's not RoboCop, just regular cop.
Yeah, they actually told more, I think they told more of the storyline behind him in this one than they did in the previous, where basically he was after some drug and gun dealers and... is some dirty cops behind the scene, and
Before RoboCop, he was ReguCop.
That's it. So that's RoboCop, and I'll tell you what, go see it. It's definitely fun. And if you're sitting there saying, I don't want them to ruin the original. Don't worry, they pay enough homage to the original that it's it's its own movie, but at the same time, it's got enough of the original to say, hey, they did a good job. And that's my opinion, and you're sticking with it. So anyway, okay, so now we're going to take a little bit of a break, come back with an interview with Chris Birch from Modiphius Entertainment, and he's going to be talking about some role-playing games that are coming out. And I'll tell you what, Mutant Chronicles, check out their website. Check out the graphics for these Mutant Chronicles. This game... if not fun, I mean, first of all, it's a role-playing game, so you know you're going to have your own fun with your own imagination as well as the storyline, but the drawings and the artwork they have for this are just phenomenal. I love it because they got the square jaw heroes. You're going to love this, so stick around. That's coming up.
www.gilwilson.com.
If you need quality voice work for your radio commercials, audio for TV commercials, or maybe just for that message on hold for your business, you need to check out
www.gilwilson.com.
GILWILSON.com. www.gilwilson.com. Check it out. It's quirky. It's fun. It's innovative. Nerd up.
All right, welcome to this segment of the Nerd Up Podcast. I'm Guilty Wilson. With me, I've got on the line Chris Birch, publisher with Modiphius Entertainment. Is that right?
That's right. Yeah, that's it.
All right. It's a cool looking word that you're never sure how to pronounce it, but I like the way the word looked.
We made it up, so don't worry. It's a lot of people get it wrong, and you got it right, so it's all good.
That's the first time. So, all right. Now, Modiphius, they're coming out with some new products, some new role-playing games coming out. We're going to talk about these. We're going to talk about Mutant Chronicles, and we also might mention some Mindjammer, Octung Cthulhu. I love saying that one, too. So. You had to put on these hard words. All right. So, but basically, first of all, we're going to talk about this new role-playing game, Mutant Chronicles. Now, this is the third edition you guys are publishing. You got it on the Kickstarter social funding, and you guys exceeded your goals. How'd that go for you?
Yeah, it was amazing. We only went for £11,000. So that's about $16,000,
mm-hmm.
and we did that in 3 hours.
Holy
and then,
cow!
Yeah, it was crazy. We did another one last year for Acton Cthulhu, and it took us. We only went for $8,000, or about $12,000, and that took a day.
Uh-huh.
So you can imagine how surprised we were to see it go up so big.
Well, based on the popularity of Acton Cthulhu, I guess that they said, "Oh yeah, these guys are great. Let's go."
Well, and also Mutant Chronicles was this massive, massive gaming brand in the 90s. So you had like three board games, a big war game, comic books, novels, two video games, massive card game called Doom Trooper in 16 languages.
Oh, wow.
So, and then they had two role-playing game editions back then. And since then, there's been a movie, which a lot of fans don't like. Some do like it. It's, you know, very mixed reception, but it's still a movie which gets it in front of millions of people.
Right.
And then Fantasy Flight did a big miniatures game a few years back. So we've kind of come to it 10 years after the real big success and kind of, obviously, I had found there's a lot of fans out there still remember it, still love it. They're, you know, still playing the old role playing game years down the line.
And
they love it so much.
Yeah, they love it so much. And they wanted to see more of it. So I guess that's why the funding came quickly. Now your Kickstarter, the Kickstarter campaign's still going on, right?
That's right. We've got another. We're about halfway through. Another 22 days to go. So it was 40 days and nights, and I can tell you, it's pretty draining. You don't sleep a lot. Luckily, my wife is very, very, very patient. She's helping out as well. She's been doing a lot of the emails and promotion. And so together, we've been putting in the hours. And it's, you know, if anyone thinks it's, you know, you just put a project up there and make thousands of pounds, it's super hard work. And, you know, you're putting all the money into making sure you give everyone a really good quality, which is what we did with Acton. Because in a great, you know, a great game, so everyone's going to have a great time and have really nice stuff, you know, on their shelves.
Yeah, because that's one of the things with Kickstarter projects. You're not just asking for money. You got to have something to deliver to each person that donates to this. You have to have a product for them, so you got to make sure you have all that. Well, let's talk about Mutant Chronicles here. What's the general storyline for those that don't know, coming new into this? What's the general storyline behind Mutant Chronicles that you can give me? Let me
okay,
know
so it's kind of, they call it a techno fantasy. So it's basically five big corporations own everyone. And it's set in the 25th century, and you've basically, they've evacuated Earth for various reasons. It's a nuclear winter down there, total wasteland, and you've now got the corporations running all the big planets in the solar system. They've terraformed them, and they send a mission out to Pluto. They discover this ancient tablet, and when they scan it, suddenly this malevolent virus appears in computer systems all over the system, and over the course of about 20 years it just trashes and it turns technology about against mankind. The AIs turn on them, the machines turn on them, and it's, you know, suddenly mankind can't do anything with a computer chip in it, which is pretty much everything, if you can imagine.
Right.
And so you end up at this kind of diesel punk style technology, like 1950s. Everything's bigger than it needs to be. Engines are bigger, the turbines are bigger, the cars are bigger, the guns are bigger, and the shoulder pads are even bigger. It was very famous for its massive shoulder pads and huge guns. And the main artist, Paul Bonner, was like a genius. And, you know, his artwork still stands up now. It's beautiful, kind of big color plates with loads of detail and massive jawlines and over-exaggerated characters. So it's a kind of... obviously, it takes a lot of inspiration from the 90s from Games Workshop. There's but it's set in our solar system, kind of relatively near future, but with this sort of massive alien race. And what happens is they then go and explore Nero, which is the 10th planet after Pluto.
Okay.
And, of course, Pluto gets renamed as a planet and for all those tech heads out there.
Oh, good.
And, yeah, and Nero is basically, they find this ancient ruin and they trigger this gateway, and the Dark Legion come pouring forth, and these gigantic asteroid-like ships smash their way into the planets and outpour these hordes of the Dark Legion to attack humanity. And it becomes this sort of last stand between the Dark Legion and humankind to fight them off with this new lower level of tech, you know. And, you know, the ships look really cool. They've got big grills on them. It's very sort of 50s style, as if the kind of World War II kept going and you just got the next generation of all the fighters and the planes and cars and gadgets and stuff.
Right.
And then there's so you can actually play investigative missions. You can play wartime missions. It's all very larger than life, very cinematic. And you get this brotherhood appear who are like the kind of religious order that have helped the humans fight back against the Dark Legion. So you get like some sort of spells, magic kind of powers. It's called Mutant Chronicles, and mutation had nothing to do with the previous versions, but we've introduced it into the storyline. And for anyone that remembers the old game, there were a lot of holes in the story, a lot of stuff that wasn't really fleshed out. And so we've done that. We've kind of filled in all the gaps, and we've got all this secret stuff to reveal through all the books that we're rewriting, re-releasing, and creating new books as well. So it's going to be a real exciting journey to follow through the return of the Dark Legion.
Nice. Well, I like the idea that you're filling in the gaps. That now I played the original game, but just looking at the artwork of this one, it's like, it, like you said, the square jaws of the heroes. That's what got me. I was like, people don't do that anymore, you know?
Yeah.
And it's like, that was so, it's almost nostalgic. And like you said, the diesel punk aspect of it is really, really visually stunning, and especially with all the artwork you have on your website, I thought.
Yeah, and there's lots more coming as well. There's, I mean, we're just starting to reveal all the new ships, and there's a lot of stuff that you never saw before. Like, you didn't see really the cities, you didn't see the spaceships, you didn't see a lot of aspects of that universe. So we've got artists drawing them all at the moment. We just showed off a lunar police detective yesterday with his badge, to be able to get the actual badge as an exclusive. We showed off this gorgeous Bauhaus sort of VIP ship that looks like a Rolls Royce on the front with big wings. And there's some really cool stuff coming through. I can't wait to kind of reveal it all. And we're doing a lot of new miniatures with another British company called Prodos. And they got the rights to do Warzone, which is the war game set in the universe, mm-hmm. and have been releasing. They did a big Kickstarter last year and have been releasing a lot of miniatures based on all the factions. And then they're doing some exclusive designs for the Kickstarter that will be for all the role-playing characters that will be sold afterwards, but they're introducing them now for us, which is great.
Now, on the gameplay itself, is this one of those games? Now, I played Dungeons and Dragons back in the day, and I was in the Navy at the time, and on the ship, whenever we had free time, we'd just go back, and there'd be one guy had all the books, and we'd all just keep little notebooks on how on gameplay. Now, how does the gameplay of this one go? Is it similar, or do you have to have the miniatures?
No, you don't need the miniatures at all. You can play it in your imagination or draw a map or whatever you want to do. Mm-hmm. And obviously some people like using the miniatures. It's great fun.
It is.
And we're going to do some nice floor plan maps and stuff. But you can play however you like. Like I said, it's very cinematic. It lets you do the really crazy stunts that you can imagine that you should be able to do. In this world is just larger than life. You get to do all kinds of crazy stuff. Like, you know, you should be able to crash land in your gunship, rip the chain gun off the wing mount, and let rip at 1,000 undead legionnaires advancing on you with your friends. And the GM shouldn't go have a headache going, oh my gosh, how am I going to deal with this? And so I wanted a system that would let you do big stuff like that you should see in, you know, if you imagine it as a movie, you would see that as a scene, and you'd see more scenes. And it's not all on the battlefront. It's lots of stuff hunting around the cities, kind of very Blade Runner style, hunting down weird cults and creatures and investigating, learning what's going on in the, you know, how is this virus spreading? You know, how can they defend themselves against it? How do they stop the Dark Legion pouring continually from these big citadels that have impacted into the planet? So there's a massive story, and you need to be able to play big scenes. Like, I had a guy playing in our playtest fighting what's called an Izogul, which, if you can imagine, this is giant white horse with like two big arms, flinging a sword that screams as it flies around.
Okay.
Real scary looking thing. And so he runs at it shooting. Okay. And he's on this sort of power station, the floor shiny. Okay.
Okay.
He says, okay, so I'm going to run at it screaming and shooting. And then at the last minute, I'm just going to slip and slide under him because I'm running at him so fast. And then I'm going to slash him from underneath with my sword. And through the game, he could do that, and it was awesome because he loved it. He got to do the big scene, he got to kill this creature. Of course, there's more coming, but it was one of those awesome moments that sometimes games don't let you do because, oh, well, you know, that's going to be really difficult, and you know, you're going to have to roll,
right?
You know, and then we're going to have to add +5 and, you know, do that. You create so many rules to do something that actually just should be awesome, and it should be like that, you
right.
know. I do it. That's what I want to do. I want to do something really cool and save the day. And the thing with Mutant Chronicles is it just gets worse afterwards. It's like a movie. The next scene is even worse, you know. So, and we have lots of great mechanics. And we're making a big announcement on Monday about the game system. We're going to have a big new beta that is going out as a free download on RPG Now in about a week and a half, just about a week before the end of the Kickstarter. So people will be able to download it and go, this sucks, or wow, this is amazing and I want to back this, or I want to get this game.
I think
so. The idea
will
is to really give people, well, I hope so, yes, but when people see the announcement we make this week, they will go, oh my gosh, this is going to be great. And they're going to see why we've been a bit quiet about the rule system for the last couple of weeks. And, you know, we've been working hard to make this really big announcement that's going to kind of totally up the game for the next time.
Well, where can somebody, I'm going to ask you at the end of the interview also, but where will somebody be able to go to find this announcement?
The best thing is to go to modifius.com, or they can go to Kickstarter. And if you type in Mutant Chronicles, you will find the current Kickstarter. You will also find the Warzone Kickstarter, Mutant Chronicles Warzone, which was a skirmish game that was run a year ago. Mm-hmm. But where the current running Mutant Chronicles Kickstarter for the role-playing third edition, and you'll find out the news. All our updates are open for anyone to read. You can see all the artwork we're revealing, all the new cool spaceships, all the sort of we uploaded some fiction yesterday about this cop, so there's some great stuff to discover.
Cool, yeah, because I know people listening to the podcast right now, whether they're most likely on their computer or on an iPod, but you know, say, hey, I want to look at that now while they're talking about it. So that's why I wanted to give the information out. So.
I mean, if you look up Mutant Chronicles, I think you find our website within the first few searches. There's all searches that come up with that, with Ron Perlman in as well.
Oh, that's right. Now I remember it. Okay, I was like having a hard time. Ron Perlman, yeah. You know, and his face fits the.
Yeah, all the action
heroes. So that's cool.
Now, I mean, a lot of the fans hated the film because it's a different story to what they know. But all the characters are the same names. All the corporations are the same names. It's one of these things. If you work with Hollywood, they are going to change it.
Right.
And to be honest, it's a miracle that the film got made. It's a miracle that the character names and corporation names are still the same. The fact that it's a different story really is what Hollywood does,
right?
Because everyone in the film company has to have their say, because otherwise, how do they justify their jobs?
Exactly.
And you know, they've all got to, you know, give a reason why they're being paid so much money. And it's just the way Hollywood works. Now, the great thing is, we've had tons and tons and tons of people going, you know, I found out about Mutant Chronicles because of the film, and now I've discovered these awesome games and miniatures. So their experience only gets better. And, you know, it's basically a multi-million pound advert that's flying around out there drawing people into this awesome universe.
You're right, though. The movie is a good way to introduce some people to it, the ones that didn't already know. So now this game is actually going to be released, you said, August, and be in stores, what, September, something like that?
That's correct. Okay. So backers will be getting it in August. Okay. I'm hoping we'll be at Gen Con with it. And we will be at Gen Con anyway, but I'm hoping that we'll have the books there. And then if you want it from your local gaming store, then you should be looking for it around September, October. And then there'll be a stream of books, all the guides, all the campaigns expanding on the universe. And the great thing is we've got so much material that we can expand on and rewrite. And, you know, so we're not having to write 20 books from scratch. We've already got a lot of great content that is being brought up to date and made more interesting, more information. So we've got a really good head start on a lot of the material.
That's good. And that makes it a little bit easier on your end. Well, I got to let the people know that locally, the people that listen locally here in my area, Legends Games down in Vincennes, Indiana, and also Snibbles Games here in Robinson, those will be the places you need to bug them and say, hey, we need to get Mutant Chronicles in the store now. So start bugging them about August, September, and October. So
yeah.
Let's see. Now you guys are, what else would you like to talk about on Mutant Chronicles?
I think that's it, really. Okay. Of course, really appreciate any support. It's you know, obviously we've done very well already, and the more we raise basically lets us unlock more books now, so we can guarantee they're actually coming out sooner rather than later. And often the way games companies go is they get the first few books out and then they kind of wait and see how sales go, and then they gradually bring out new books. And that's why sometimes it's so frustrating that you've bought the core book and you're still waiting for that campaign, or you're still waiting for that extra book, because they can't do everything at once. And so what the Kickstarter lets us do is guarantee that it gets written and guarantee that it gets produced and printed, and we put it out as soon as possible. So and of course we'll be able to fund some other great stuff. We're hoping to fund a big name cover artist for the main book. We're hoping to fund some color prints of some of the core books. Now the main core book is 400 pages and is a beautiful full color hardcover book. It's incredible. Mm-hmm. And we want to turn all the other books into color. So that all helps do that, you know, and it just makes it a bigger package for everyone.
Definitely so. I like the guarantee that there'll be more to come with more funding. I like that idea.
Yeah, we've got plenty of stuff lined up.
Good.
Which is really exciting. And then of course we've just launched another game called Mindjammer the role-playing game, and I wrote a game called Starblazer Adventures based on Fate about 8 years ago. Mm-hmm. And that was an enormous book, big red book if you ever see it, with about 636 pages. I think it was enormous.
Wow.
Yeah, it was big. You could stop a laser blast with that, I'm telling you. Mad. And that was my first game I wrote, and it was a good learning lesson. And then I did Legends of Vonglaer, the kind of fantasy version for Fate, with Sarah Newton, afterwards another writer. Mm-hmm. And she also wrote Mindjammer as a supplement for Starblazer Adventures. And then what she's done is gone away and rewritten it for Fate Core, which, as you know, was the big Kickstarter, and they've rewritten the whole Fate rules. And so it's now a standalone, I think it's 500 pages, so it's pretty big as well. It's an awesome book. It's all about kind of transhuman-style sci-fi. If you like your real far-future high-tech sci-fi where you've got like sentient starships and downloadable skills, and it's like a real epic future role-playing game, and it's all based around the Fate Core engine, and it's standalone, so you get everything in it. So we've just gone on pre-order with that. That's going really well, and that's shipping out end of March, and it will be in stores in May. And beautiful artwork again. And of course, we're just in the middle of, we've shipped out the Acton Cthulhu Investigator's Guide and Keeper's Guide. That was our big project last year. So we did basically Cthulhu and Nazis. That was really fun. And those two core books are coming out in retail at the end of, March, April.
Okay.
And then we've got a string of supplements and campaigns for that. So if you like Cthulhu, now the good thing about these books is they're statted for both Call of Cthulhu and Savage Worlds. We thought, well, of course, the Cthulhu game has to be Call of Cthulhu, mm-hmm. but actually not everyone likes to play that. There's a lot of people playing Savage Worlds, which is, you know, has a lot of different supplements. So we decided to put the stats for both games in the books. So as long as you've got either core book, you can buy the Keeper's Guide and Investigator's Guide and any of the campaigns, any of the supplements, and you'll have rules for either of those systems to use with it.
That's a really cool idea.
Amazed no one, more people haven't done it. It's a bit like doing a PlayStation and Xbox version of a game, because not everyone's got Xbox and not everyone's got PlayStation.
Right.
So you can hit a bigger audience. Of course, it bumps up the page count, but it, you know, we've done it in a really clever way. You've got little symbols that tell you, you know, which rules are relevant to you. Mm-hmm. And of course, there's masses of storyline and content. It's all about this secret war being fought by the Allies against the Mythos and their Nazi allies. And it's a kind of like you're playing the role-playing game of an awesome graphic novel. It's mm-hmm. got that kind of look to the artwork. It's about these big six main investigator heroes from around the world, like a Russian girl, he's a tank driver. You've got a French resistance agent, an American GI sergeant. You've got a British commando officer with his big moustache, mm-hmm. and an American professor from the Miskatonic University. An Indian Sikh Commonwealth soldier. Oh. And they've all got some kind of involvement with the Mythos. Mm-hmm. And it's all the backstory is there's it's all about these characters, how they fight their way through the war, how, you know, one of them has got this sort of Mythos creature kind of that has let her live in return for hunting down Nazi souls. And you know, so it's pretty dark.
Yeah.
And she's worried what will happen when she runs out of Nazis for it. So so of course you can play your classic Call of Cthulhu investigative mm-hmm. game, a war-torn battlefield game. You can play two-fisted, guns blazing, Savage World style games, And, you know, so it's got all the options in it, and it's real, you know, it's really fun. And we're doing a big miniatures range with Spartan Games, if you know, Firestorm, Armada, the Spaceships game, or Dystopian Wars or Dystopian Legions. They're the guys behind those awesome miniature games. So we're doing a big skirmish miniatures game with them in 28mm, and that's coming out later in the summer for Acton Cthulhu as well.
Wow, sounds like a big, busy year for you this year.
Yeah, it is. I mean, we've been stretching stuff out, so there's kind of not too much stuff going on at the same time, and it's different writers involved. If people are thinking, oh, you know, how are those guys going to write all that stuff? So we've made sure that we've got a completely different team writing Mutant Chronicles that are doing Acton Cthulhu, and they're all really great. When you see who we're announcing, you'll see that they're you know, big name writers that are used to churning out great material. So we're in really good, safe hands.
Yeah, well, you definitely got a big, busy year. Good thing you got the writers separated out like that, but you're the busy one on this, it seems like, too. So
yeah.
So
I have a sick wife that keeps me organized as well. So
that's always good. That's always good.
Yeah.
Summary, basically you have Mutant Chronicles coming out this fall. You've got, towards the end of summer and into fall, you've got Mindjammer coming out this spring. Now, that's hard for me to pronounce all that together. Acton Cthulhu is, now that's already out, right?
It's out for on PDF.
On PDF.
And it's going on sale at the end of this month on in print. And then it'll be in shops. That's from our web store. And it'll be in shops near you from the end of March.
Once again, Chris, go ahead and give us all the information. We can get a hold of you and find out how to, or not necessarily hold of you, but hold of the Modiphius and get all the information.
Well, we're very friendly. We always answer emails if people want to, you know, they just kind of have a few questions they want to ask us. We always try and get back to you, you know, within a day. And but you can come to modiphius.com, which is modiphius.com. Find out about a lot of our games there. If you're looking for the Kickstarter, just go to kickstarter.com and type Mutant Chronicles into the search, and you will find our Mutant Chronicles 3rd edition role-playing game Kickstarter. And of course, you can find us on Facebook as well. There's facebook.com/Modiphius and /Mutant Chronicles RPG.
Yep, all right. I went on there and already liked both of those, so I'm a fan of those pages now. So we'll get to it. Well, I appreciate you coming onto the podcast this week and letting us know what's going on in the great entertaining world of RPG. I'm telling you, I love role playing games for one thing. You use your imagination. Video games, and people have heard this spiel from me before, but video games, you're following someone else's imagination. In role playing games, sure, someone created it, but you're still creating even more. So I really love role-playing games because of that aspect. So, once again, thanks for sharing with us. And
My pleasure.
And we'll get back with you and maybe in a little while, so maybe a few months, and see what else you got coming up.
Yeah, I'd love to come back and talk. We'll have some more exciting stuff to reveal later in the year.
Yeah, sounds like you're someone not to stay idle for too long. So.
Yeah, so, I do like to be busy.
All right. Well, I'll get a hold of you sometime later on. We'll get an update from you. In the meantime, thanks for joining us. And that's it for this segment of the Nerd Up Podcast. Well, I guess that does it for the Nerd Up Podcast this time around. I'm Guilty Wilson, and
I'm Isaac Wilson with a cold.
Yeah, in case you didn't notice, he has a bit of a cold. And, well, we're going to end up this podcast right now. We're going to get it published. We're going to go. And what is the next movie we got planned to see, Isaac?
Probably Captain America.
Is that what the next one is?
Isn't that coming out like the end of March or whatever?
Something like that. So,
no, wait, it's at the beginning of April, I believe.
Well, it's just close to the end of March.
Whatever, either way. I think near the end or beginning of July is Spider-Man.
That's the one I'm anxious to see. So, all right, so next time around we'll be talking, hopefully, we probably won't get to a movie next time, but we will definitely have the rest of the gang back with us. Eric should be back next week, and Brandon will probably join us. And so I guess that does it. We're done. We're going to close out for this time around on the Nerd Up Podcast. Once again, I'm Guilty Wilson.
I'm Isaac Wilson.
And, hey, stay nerdy. Nerd Up!
The
www.gilwilson.com. If you need quality voice work for your radio commercials, audio for TV commercials, or maybe just for that message on hold for your business, you need to check out www.gilwilson.com. GILWILSON.com. www.gilwilson.com. Check it out. It's quirky. It's fun. It's innovative.